In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are, the fifth day of Christmas. The tree is still up in the chancel. Christmas songs are still ringing in our ears. The Advent candles are all lit. The celebration of Christmas is still going strong. And yes, I know, the world has moved on from Christmas and is running headlong into the new year. But does the world really celebrate Christmas? The world does celebrate the buying of gifts and the holiday festivities with parties of eating and overindulging. We celebrate time off from work and a break from school. But Christmas? The birth of a Savior? The need for a Savior? Falling on one's knees before the Savior? That the world does not do. It doesn't think it needs it. It really doesn't care. The church, however, still celebrates Christmas for a few more days. And let's be honest, we need it. I need it. We need to hear the good news that God so loves the world, that He loves people like us, that He loves our neighbors, our co-workers, the outlaws, and yes, even the in-laws. Those who are nice and those who are not so nice. Because that little baby in that manger, Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to save sinners. And that's them, and that's us. He came to open up heaven. He came to deliver us from death. He came to forgive our sins, to remove the burden of our guilt, to replace our fears with hope, to replace our shame with peace. And the presents, the lighted tree, the Christmas cookies and candy, they can't do that. The ball dropping in Times Square cannot do that either. We need Christmas because we need a Savior, our Savior, Jesus. He has come to save us from the bitterness of our sin. And it's still Christmas season, and perhaps that makes our gospel reading a little bit more disturbing than we'd expect. After all, it's Christmas time. And what do we find? What do we hear this morning? A fuming, enraged king taking those toddlers, those infants, and pouring out his rage upon them in Bethlehem. Rachel mourning and weeping, refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. Parents, real moms and dads in Bethlehem, are struck with confusion, anger, deep grief as they clutch the bodies of their lifeless sons. And our Lord Himself is on the run. Joseph taking Mary and his son during the night and fleeing into Egypt from the murderous plots of King Herod. Isn't everything supposed to be good and right at Christmas? Aren't all men supposed to get along? Peace on earth? Goodwill toward men and all that, right? But that's not what we read. And that's not what our eyes see when we look around us and what our ears hear. Neither the bitterness of sin nor the wickedness of men care that this is a holiday season. Rachel still refused to be comforted. The Bethlehem parents still wept and wailed. The King Herod, he still feared and was enraged. And the Son of God was still hiding in Egypt. And if you think about it, it doesn't make much sense, does it? And I'm sure it didn't back then either. Mothers and fathers in Bethlehem tried to figure out what could possibly make sense out of those soldiers slaying their babies. And as far as we know, no one ever gave them a reason for Herod's rampage. They were left to cope with the bitterness and grief of unanswered questions. I mean, Joseph at least had an angel tell him why he had to flee to Egypt in the middle of the night. Not that that made much sense to Joseph either. Why Herod would want his son dead. But that Christ child, baby Jesus, was under attack. The consequences of sin don't often come with answers, do they? But they do come with real, down-to-earth bitterness and tragedy. If it doesn't sound like it makes much sense, well, you're in good company. Because the logic of sin and death are not bound by our reason. I mean, Jesus is born. Our Savior has come. It's Christmas time. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. Shouldn't everything start going right in this world? But since when in this world have things start to go right? I mean, sin ruins everything. Sin destroys. Your sin, my sin, damns us. Sin makes life bitter, your sin and mine. And sin doesn't care how festive or joyful or peaceful you're supposed to be. People lose their jobs. People get cancer. Car accidents claim lives. Bodies become racked with pain and disease. And tragedies don't come with explanations, but they come. Even at Christmas. Sin makes life bitter. But Jesus came to save us from the bitterness of our sin. Notice that Jesus' birth did not produce heaven on earth. I mean, even the Son of God had to be carried away to safety from the hands of wicked men. But Herod the Great would not lay a hand on baby Jesus, not yet. Jesus' time would come. Even after Jesus was brought back to Israel, God directed Joseph away from Herod's realm, to Galilee, to Nazareth. They would stay in that out-of-the-way, backward city, that little town of Nazareth, where Jesus would grow up in safety and in relative obscurity. But Jesus' day would come. The son of Herod would live to see the death of the Son of God. This time, no innocent children would be slaughtered, and Jesus would not flee. This time, Jesus would die in place of them, pierced with nails, run through with a spear while hanging on a cross. The innocent one would be put to death for the sins of the world. He would taste all of sin's bitterness. He would feel all of its cruelty and condemnation. He would willingly suffer for those sentenced to eternal death. This is why our Lord came. He came for you and for me, for us, to save us from the bitterness of your sin and mine. And yet, we still feel sin's cruelty, don't we? But don't blame God. if you taste the bitterness of sin. It's not God's fault. God didn't order the soldiers to kill those boys in Bethlehem. God did not provoke Herod to jealousy over his throne. God does not take pleasure in the tragic death of loved ones or in those bone-chilling moments when you've been given bad news. Rachel will still mourn for her children. You will still weep and grieve when sin makes its presence felt. It's not God's sin which brings the bitterness. God has no sin. But you and I, we do. The world does. We're immersed in it. And we suffer because of it. That is why we taste all of that bitterness. That's why we die. So repent. Repent of your sin. Don't blame Jesus. Instead, flee to Jesus, the one who was born to save you and to save me from the bitter tragedy of our sin. We may grieve, but we don't grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope, because we have hope. Our hope is in Christ. Through Jesus, though Jesus had escaped the slaughter of the innocent children in Bethlehem, he did not abandon them. God called his son out of Egypt back into Israel. He came back so that he would suffer and die for them, for you and for me. He did not abandon them, but he saved them. Though their lives in this world were brief, their eternity surely is not. And while their parents grieved, they had hope. And Jesus is our hope. And it's no different with us either, that we will taste and continue to taste the bitterness of our sin and the sin around us. You will shed tears and grieve. But don't lose hope. For Jesus tasted the cup of God's wrath for you and drank that bitter cup all the way down to its very bottom. Jesus consumed the curse for you. The innocent one dying on a cross for the guilty. Therefore, he absolves you, declares you innocent of your guilt. He purifies you in the waters of your baptism. He presents you holy and blameless to the Father. So fear is now replaced with hope. Shame is replaced with peace. Life, his life, overcomes your death. Jesus has saved you from the bitterness of your sin. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus does indeed save you from the bitterness of your sin. Even here, this very moment, this very morning, feeding you his own body and blood for your forgiveness. And while your grief is real right now, so is your hope. So is Jesus' salvation. Grief only lasts for a moment, but God's favor that Christ has won for you and I lasts for eternity. Salvation in all of its sweetness does not come until we enter into heaven, but it most certainly will come. That is why we still need Christmas. That is why we still celebrate Christmas. The bitterness of sin doesn't take a holiday. Grief and sorrow do not go on vacation. That is why we need our Savior. Jesus, he doesn't make light of our sin and death, but rather he supplies hope in our grief. and provides life in the midst of death. And He will deliver you from the world of bitterness and sin to the sweetness of heaven. Jesus never abandons you. Jesus saves you. And that is reason to celebrate. In the name of Jesus, amen.